first day, she don't like rubber.
Lillian Garcia is a world famous WWE ring announcer, the first woman to ever announce WrestleMania. Her show, Chasing Glory, is now available on the WWE Network. A true pioneer. Let's make her the Giant Interview.
Now, it's the Giant Interview, presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Lillian, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on getting back home in the WWE there with Chasing Glory. How are you?
Oh, thank you so much. Doing amazing. I feel on such a high today because people are going to get a treat, and I'm just really blessed to be the vehicle to get it to them.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic show, again, available on WWE Network today. We got a lot to get to, Lillian, about your career and all that you sort of experienced in wrestling, in the world of wrestling. But first, I want to ask you a little bit about some of your backstage work. You know, I'm a child of the Attitude Era. I'm 29, and I remember distinctly an interview you did with The Rock, and I'm sure you know exactly which one I'm talking about. And he was really putting you to the test, right? Like, he was putting you to the test. So how difficult was it to just not bust out laughing? Because I feel like that's almost an impossible thing to do.
Dude, right now, as you're bringing me back to remembering that interview, I am literally blushing. There is something that The Rock would just have over me that I would blush so instantly, and he knew it, and he worked it.
Yep.
But it was so much fun working with him. He was one of the first to befriend me when I got there, and then getting to do all those backstage interviews. I just feel really lucky that I was there during that time and had him, you know, helping me and mentoring me as well and into the whole business. And I can't say it anymore. Like, I just had a blast. And it was also him that helped introduce me to the WWE, like the producers, that I got to sing the national anthem. So yep. I owe a lot to The Rock.
Would you know before, like what was, I don't know if, I don't think you guys rehearsed or anything like that, but would you know before, like with The Rock or whoever it was come up to you and say, hey, I'm going to do this and just get ready? Or is this all sort of sprung on you there in that moment?
Yeah, it's funny because I'm trying to think back to those moments because so many moments have happened. And so I just remember that it was definitely live. It was not pre-taped. And I just remember them giving me the premise of, look, you know, you're very, very reporter. He's going to call you Barbara. I think he said he's going to call me Barbara Walters or something like that. And just go with it and just be natural with everything that comes out. And it was just so easy because it really did make me blush, and it made me going like, wait, what?
it's classic.
It was funny, yeah.
Breaking in, Lillian, breaking into an industry that previously had, I mean, you're a pioneer, you're a trailblazer in so many different ways. Was it easy? Were there obstacles you had to overcome personally just in the locker room? Because you just don't typically associate women announcers there. I mean, it was a different time. So was it hard? Was it easier than you might have expected? Sort of, what was that like breaking in?
Yeah, no, you said it. It was so hard. It was so hard. It was hard because I was the first female to come from outside of wrestling. So even I had to gain the respect of the female wrestlers that were in the locker room. Because, again, I really didn't have a knowledge. I watched it as a kid, and then when I went to school and college, I pretty much, you know, dropped out of watching wrestling. So when I got there, I didn't know who everybody was. I also was set up in a way, or put it this way, I was told my very first day on the job, I thought I was just going in for orientation, and little by little they would start training me. I was told that night I was going to be replacing Howard Finkel and, you know, being the ring announcer for Monday Night Raw, which was live, 14 million people at the time watching live and in 140 different countries. And I didn't know what I was doing. I had never been trained. 20 minutes before we're going live, I was told no cue cards. So all of that was excruciating hard. Thank you for, you know, Howard Finkel. Thank God for him. He really helped me. Tony Chimmel really helped me. And then little by little, I started gaining the respect of the superstars and the females that were in the locker room because they genuinely saw that I wanted to be there, that I respect their business, that I wanted to be 100% the best that I could possibly be at my job, because then it made them shine, because I just take so much pride in being a ring announcer or an interviewer and putting them over. And they really started understanding that I wasn't just here to use this as a platform to just immediately leave and go somewhere else. And it, you know, it shows by me being there for 15 years.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing that I just remember that they gave me credit later. Even China apologized to me later and said, you know, I thought at first that you were just somebody here to use us. And I can see you genuinely want to be here. So I apologize for the way that I, you know, wasn't that nice to you when you came in. And we ended up having a great relationship.
What are your goals?
You got to get through that.
No, that's and it sounds like that's some of your goals for the show, Lillian, is for us to see these athletes and their entertainers at their core, to sort of take off the mask, yeah, to see them. Is that it?
Absolutely. I thought about this in 2004, this concept, because of being in the locker room with these females and learning their backstories and some of the struggles that they are still enduring or what they've been through. I was like, man, if people could hear your story, they would just be in awe, and they could probably, you know, gravitate to you even more because they can relate to you. And then your story can help them if they're going through it. And so from day one that we've launched this in 2016, that's what I wanted people to be able to have, a safe place with no judgment to share their stories, share your struggles. Kudos to all my guests that have come on that have been so vulnerable and willing to trust the show and know that this is in order to help people, which it has. It has helped so many people. We get so many letters. People are saying, I really was about to give up. I was about to commit suicide when I heard this episode, and now I feel I can apply these lessons to my life. And, boy, that is so gratifying. And now that it's getting on the free version of the WWE Network, it's going to be seen by a lot more people, and hopefully we can save more people, because suicide is on such a rise that I'm just really trying to make a change with the show.
We are, of course, talking to the great Lillian Garcia.
Awesome.
Her podcast show, Chasing Glory, now available on WWE Network, which, let's be honest, that's exactly where it belongs. Lillian, I am curious. You know, you broke into the business, you know, around the sort of turn of the century, and we talked about the Attitude Era, right? You compare the Attitude Era to today. It could not be more different. And I think a lot of that is to the good, because did you ever think when you were breaking in 99 and 2000 that 18 years from then there would be a women's only pay-per-view? I mean, the women movement sort of itself and sort of the way that has come around, does it give you pride that you took a part in that and that is where the WWE has come?
Well, I appreciate you saying that, but I give all, you know, kudos to the women that have been fighting so hard in that ring from day one to get seen more. And then the fans to start recognizing that and asking the WWE, please, we need more matches from the women. They need more time. They can do these ladder matches. They can do the Money in the Banks. And then the women turning around and showing they can do it and pulling off an entire pay-per-view. That was so special for me to be a part of that pay-per-view, because so many, many, many times I was out there for pay-per-views announcing, and I was the only female that had come through that curtain. The only female that entire night that made, you know, pretty much represented women. I was like, this is not right. And so I just love the fact that it's not all about women empowerment and it's all about the women. No, it's about showing that the women can do this, and the women and the men can be together, and both of them can show that they belong. And that's what I'm a big advocate for this movement.
Yeah, I do want to ask you just sort of about, you know, your time when you were full time in the WWE. I mean, we know, or maybe our listeners don't know, maybe you could sort of speak to it. But it's not like the NFL. It's not like the NBA, right, where, you know, you have 82 games a season or 16 games a season, and then you get an off season. You get a summer, right? You get a summer where you can right. just stay home and do whatever you want and get ready for next season. I mean, the travel is nonstop in the WWE. So was that something that you enjoyed? Was it something that took a toll on your personal life? Like, sort of speak to our listeners what that was like, that grind in the WWF and WWE.
Yeah, I definitely didn't know what I was stepping into. I do remember when I signed on, they told me, look, we'd like to try you out for 2 to 3 months. You could quit at any time during that time if it's not working for you. And then we'll look into, do we want to sign you for a year? And now I feel very blessed that after 2 weeks, they asked me to sign the year contract. But I told them, I said, you know what? I really want to know and see and experience what this travel is going to be like. And so I did travel for those 3 months, and I'm not going to lie, those first 3 months were really hard to adapt. But then I started getting to the groove of it, which you do somehow, your body just starts adapting. But I will say that, like, after 10 years, I took a break for two before I came back for another 5 years. But after that 10 years, I was a little beat up, and I'm like, wow, I'm not even in the ring taking bumps. I can't even imagine what it's like to be there night after night, 300-plus dates a year, having these matches and putting my body through that, to then have to drive myself to the next town, to then being, you know, lugging my own luggage, to then, you know, sitting in those cramped airplanes. I was like, wow, total respect for the superstars that really had that. But there's also a love of being on the road, and the camaraderie that you start creating with your fan base is unbelievable, and your not only your fan base but the people that you work with, and so that becomes so contagious. Like, you just want it, and that kept me going for so many years. But I have to just say, like, big kudos to the superstars who do this, who a lot of times are away from their families, and a lot of respect for it. That's why I would say they're some of the best athletes in the world. Because of that.
Absolutely. We are, of course, talking to the great Lillian Garcia. Her show, Chasing Glory, now available on the WWE Network. It is absolutely worth your time. And then a couple other things, Lillian, before we let you go. And I hope I'm not getting too personal here, but there was a piece I read, a video I saw, where you talked about your faith. And, you know, we're in Memphis, Tennessee, right? I mean, we are all about some religion and God and faith in Memphis, Tennessee. And you mentioned that Molly Holly, I believe, sort of helped get you reconnected with your faith. So can you just sort of, if you would, get into that and how that happened?
Oh, absolutely. And I really appreciate that question. It is not too personal. I'm pretty much an open book, and I do that because I want to help people through my own journey that I've experienced. But yeah, back then I was really going through a hard, hard, hard time. And I was going to therapy, and I was talking to her, and she looked at me. She goes, you know, therapy is fine. She said, but don't forget that God is there for you. And I was like, man, I don't know. I think maybe he's too busy for me. I was really in a lost place. Like, do I matter? Is God really there for me? Like, I was just questioning everything. And I heeded her words, because at that moment I was like, you know, what do I have to lose? And so I started leaning on God more, speaking to him more. And I always say, this is personal to people. I never force religion on anyone. You know, if you want to believe, great. If you don't, then hey, that's your choice. And I don't believe in imposing your own will on anyone else. And I also think timing is there. Now, Molly was not imposing her will on me at all. She just said, hey, don't forget God is there if you're ready for him, or if you need him. And I love that she did that, because it did get me back into having a relationship with God. And the things that have happened since then, wow, my life has really just been so blessed and so beautiful, and so much less in the dark. Because I was even taking antidepressants for a while. I was so in the dark. Yeah, so that's why I say it's like all of that kind of went away when I really leaned on him more. And for anybody out there that might be going through a struggle, I'm happy to share those words that Molly shared, and saying, try it. You got nothing to lose,
Amen.
Really. So Yeah, amen.
That's all. And thank you for sharing that. And then last thing, Lillian, can't tell you how much we appreciate you hopping on and being so open with us. I am having a daughter in April, and I am really excited. Yes, yes, I am so excited. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be a girl dad. And one day, I want her to bust through some industry like Lillian Garcia once did. So how can I help her do that? How do I do it?
Wow. Okay. Well, I can give you that. Thanks for that huge compliment. But my dad was there for me so much. But my dad was there for me in a way of just showing me love, showing me that I was, you know, strong enough, never pushing me. Everything that I got involved with, whether it was sports, whether it was, my gosh, I remember when I went to them and said, you know what? I want to do this beauty pageant. Okay. And so I did that. Anything I really wanted to be a part of, as long as it was constructive, and being singing in the bands. Like, I got in a band when I was 14, and Mom would chaperone me, and my dad, they both were there watching me. As a unit, I think that that was important, too, seeing my mother and father both supporting me. But my dad, I have to say, and being a lieutenant colonel, he just instilled that whole work ethic and just taking pride in what you do. And so for you, just let your daughter know that you are there for her, that anything that she wants to talk to you about, that you are there to support her without judgment, without being harsh on her. I think that that's the best approach. And I can only, you know, tell you that from firsthand with my father. And he's got a blessing on this whole thing because he saw Chasing Glory come to life before he passed away. And that's why I know this is the right thing for me to be doing right now.
Absolutely. Well, Lillian,
you're doing God's work.
This was a real honor and a privilege, and I think this is why your show has gotten so successful, because you really are who you are, and you don't try to mince words, and you're open, and we appreciate the time, as always, here on the show.
Thank you. Thank you to all the listeners, too, especially the ones that have, you know, been following the show from the very beginning, to the ones that are now going to discover it. If you want to go back, you can also, you know, definitely go back. We've got almost 150 episodes. What, like I said, it's free. It's a free show. The WWE is putting it on their free version of their network, which is such a blessing. And then you can still download it wherever you get podcasts. But it's all about sharing it. Also, if you know somebody in need that needs to listen to a specific episode, please pass it along, because you never know if those words are going to save their life.
Absolutely. Lillian, thanks so much.
Thank
congratulations
you.
Again.
Thank you.
She is Lillian Garcia, first ever woman to announce WrestleMania, and her show Chasing Glory is coming to the WWE Network starting today. Very, very impressive person, right?
And what a testimony, too.
Absolutely. And she mentioned it, right? Like, her first day on the job, bro, mm-hmm. in the WWE, she had no cue cards.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? Like, you don't know anything about the locker room. You don't know anything about the talent.
It's not like you've been set up to fail.
Yeah, I mean, for real.
That's incredibly difficult.
That's incredible.
And she went on to be, I mean, she is the most famous, right? I mean, you got Howard Finkel. He's a legend. But it's those two, Howard Finkel and Lillian Garcia. And she did it all. Like, she even competed a little bit in the ring, right? So very impressive woman. And
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.